So I think we can get started a little bit early then. You all know the drill. Basically, we're being recorded, and this might be a little bit more of an interactive presentation because most folks have heard the original presentation from last week, and we also have a SketchUp model if there are specific questions that we need to move around the model and look at. So again, this is 8000 Wisconsin, and it's at SketchPlan, and this is our second review, and we're seeing how it can move forward to planning board review. All right.
Great. good morning. Bob Dalrymple with Linners and Blocker. You did see this one a few weeks ago, and we were asked to go back and look at some additional things mainly relating to the building massing and the relationship with the adjacent properties. Just to remind everyone of what our single biggest challenge is for this site, which is that it is an internal lot with frontage on Wisconsin and Woodmont Avenue, bookended by two projects that have been approved. One is under construction, the 7900 Wisconsin. Both of those projects were approved prior to there being design guidelines. And so they were reviewed under a completely different set of rules and regulations and requirements. And so the challenge to this project is to design a project that adheres as much as it can to the new design guidelines implemented as part of the downtown Bethesda sector plan without exposing elements to the adjacent properties that that did not take into consideration a project such as this and the design guidelines as they came into being. So I'll let the architects get into the details of that a little bit more. This is a project that's doing 25% MPDUs, so it is supposed to move expeditiously through the process. And it is, just again to remind everyone, a project that was the benefit of a public-private RFP process with the county to incorporate an underperforming public surface parking lot, and we did go through a contest of sorts, and were selected as the developer project. And Xoilu is the developer here, and they have assembled the other properties to allow this to move forward. In addition to the two projects bookending this, again, to remind you that there was a holdout site, and that's shown with the hash marks on the property, which is the chocolate factory, a small building retail facility. So there are plenty of design challenges to design around here, and we did look at the comments that Paul Mortensen submitted in advance. And I tried to get a hold of Paul unsuccessfully. He's out this week. But we did exchange emails, and I told him that we did desire to have a sit-down with staff to talk a little bit more about especially the relationship of this project on the southern end to 7900 Wisconsin and whether there's some additional things that can be done to respond to the design guidelines and, in particular, the issue of the separation between the buildings. We've looked at being able or trying to accommodate the full separation just on this site, and given that the adjacent property did not take into consideration separation, and it just economically destroys the project, and it's just a non-starter. So the question becomes what can be done to create that separation and not uncover a blank wall on 7900 Wisconsin, which is the situation that the way it's designed. If we pull back more, I think that we'll be exposing that project in a not so desirable manner. So with that, I'll turn it over to Sami and Alex and let them kind of take you through what we've been doing since the last time you saw us.
Okay. I'm Andy Chikowski, Sami Curtin, that's K&I. Colleague Fede has moved. He started this project with Sami, but he has moved on. I've been involved for about the last 5 to 6 weeks.
And I knew his name was Andy, and I called him Alex anyway.
That's all right. You can say my last name.
I'm not even going to try.
And I followed on your email. Called him back soon.
Anyway, I just want to start with, you know, kind of the site plan issues. We did go back. We've addressed a lot of the loading concerns and whatnot off of Woodmont Avenue. They were previously over here. They're probably too close to the corner. So we've accommodated that and juggled the internal functioning. On the next page, I just kind of... we are also dealing with, Bob mentioned, there's a lot of design issues kind of with this project. One of them being sort of this BRT station that is, there's some knowns and a lot of unknowns about it, but we have sort of the standard template that we've worked with the civil engineer, and that we've inserted that. It does extend, the idea is to accommodate it both length and with the width off the sidewalk so that there's sort of a clear area around it. And I believe that 8008 is prepared for that, and they've set their ground floor back, and the upper floors do cantilever over up to the build to line, but the ground floor is set back. So what we've done was we realize it does extend, you know, maybe 13 to 20 feet into our site as well. So we've notched back at least right now 24 feet to accommodate that, so that there is a clear pedestrian experience around that. Moving on to the sort of the bigger issues, you know, I think what we tried to do here, we were in here several weeks ago, and the idea was to get as much information as we could about the neighboring parcels, because this is a tale of sort of between the walls. So what do we do between these walls? How do we behave? How do we operate? How do we adhere to the design guidelines? Simultaneously responding to these two existing conditions that did not have to behave to the design guidelines. So even though this one is under construction, the 7800, this one I believe is back in for maybe some adjustments. But either way, 8000 is between these, and we kind of call this future existing conditions, because they will be there at some point. So what we tried to do is we tried to peel back the building and kind of tell the story of how we arrived at our massing. One thing that we want to kind of go back to is to the design guidelines on page 74. It does talk about sort of the desire for the building separations, and there is an exception sort of written into the design guidelines that says, except, you know, where building to the lot line could better address an existing blank wall condition, and we happen to have two of them. So we understand and appreciate the setbacks, but we're also trying to fill in sort of the missing tooth in the street wall of Wisconsin Avenue. And as Bob said, setting back when the burden of the entire setback is placed on one property, it becomes very financially challenging. And it says there's language in here that suggests take the entire setback up 45 to 60 feet onto your property. But that is a real difficult challenge.
And we did look at that. We did, from a massing standpoint and from a density and economic standpoint, we did look at it. And especially with a project trying to deliver 25% MPDUs, it destroys the economics of it. It just, the project is just not doable with it.
So having said that, how do we, you know, move forward? And just to, you know, we didn't have this information last time, so we were able to obtain the information of the two adjacent models. This is the 7900. It is a peculiar edge in condition, I would say. It's sort of having it both ways, if you will. It's sort of, hey, we're a corner, but hey, we're also a party wall. So all the building code implications still apply to them as a party wall, because they're on a property line, and they then set back these corner balconies 6 feet, which does by code allow them up to 25% glass of that wall. So they do have a door under the balcony, but not much more. It's not a full wall of glass. So they do have to adhere to the building code. Having said that, this bar is about 72 feet deep, and there's a 40-foot, and the balconies are kind of wide. Given that, and that kind of goes back to this, is it a corner or is it an in wall? because they are so deep. But there is still 40 feet of blank wall through the middle of that building. And then on the next side, the building to the north is a little bit more understanding of sort of the urban condition, and they presented, you know, two blank party walls, assuming that a neighbor would come up and build to them, and then kind of, you know, infill the fabric of the city, kind of in the natural way. So what do we do between those? Obviously, this is the missing tooth. And what we try to do here is try to illustrate some of the sight lines and building lines of the major building lines and the major building moves of the two buildings. So we kind of color-coded it between sort of the crown of the building as it kind of, you know, creates this sweeping skyline of Bethesda, some of the major massing lines, the horizontal lines of the building, the major vertical elements, some of the major massing planes of the two buildings, and then sort of the retail experience along the ground floor. So with those in mind, we've tried to stitch our building in. How does we're trying to bridge, fill in, and
compose
the street wall of Bethesda. And so we try to think of this as a block of clay, starting from the beginning. What happens if we start with the full mass on the build to line, and then taking into account the first major design guideline criteria is to set the major wall back 10 feet. We could have between a 3 and 6 story mass. We thought 3 was appropriate because it sort of missed this kind of critical corner. We understand, you know, obviously this is going to be a major space in Bethesda, but if we went up above, it creates a weird condition. So we thought we'd dismiss it, go 3, and kind of step down towards Cordell Avenue on the north. Then we carve back, because we do have this BRT station that we have to accommodate, so we pulled that back. And then we sort of introduce this major geometry. Now, and this is, I think, one of the ideas here, and this will start going forward in the other diagrams. But the idea is that when we push this back, we do expose. Obviously, we're trying to expose the corner balcony on this one, but we are exposing the blank wall of this one. So the idea is to create a folded geometry, which is one of the massing sort of menu devices. Create a unique geometry that inflects and picks up and kind of relates to the buildings, both to the north and to the south. And then we want to start carving into this. So we start carving the top back to sort of create a more dynamic skyline composition. We thought it was important to introduce a vertical element that sort of relates to the vertical elements of the neighbors. We thought, well, then we could carve into that to kind of get back to the idea of carving into this block of clay, connecting it with the top. And then we thought the dynamic of shifting the planes, extending this one up to match that one, shifting this one down to relate to 8008. And then really, and that was the last one, but again, in essence, it's really sort of composing, as Sami suggested, composing the street wall of Bethesda. And the idea that one of Paul's thoughts was, you know, hey, what if we did something special on West Virginia Avenue? We thought, well, there could be something down on the lower levels that receives that street edge. This street is, it's a minor street. It's not necessarily a major artery as much as St. Elmo's on the other side. I mean, you're between the Benihana and the smaller bank building. And then one of the thoughts here is then on the back, similarly, this is St. Elmo's coming up from the south. This is the new plaza from JVG, the portal on the Wisconsin Avenue. And then similarly, the idea is that centerpiece kind of cascade telescopes through these masses. And then some of the same moves show up again here to mitigate the scale and relationships of the other buildings. And I have some other pages for reference if we need them. But that's essentially the presentation that we've presented to you guys. And I think, you know, we're here to have a conversation, dialogue.
So I missed the last meeting. Can you, what's the, What's different from this, from the first proposal? Just the bullet point format.
The bullet point, it's really about, I think it's really more storytelling about Wisconsin Avenue. The suggestion, and it was totally valid, is to gather more information. We didn't have as much information about the two neighbors. What's that condition exactly? How does the building touch it? How does it, you know, what's the interaction between the buildings? We didn't have that information. It was kind of ballparking it. We're close, but this is much more sort of understood now of what we're dealing with as far as heights, relationships. And we've shifted some of the masses. We've carved back in places, specifically on the top. This was further out. Yeah. So I think before this came up a little bit closer. We understand what we're dealing with and how far, how much exposure is given to those balconies. We're mitigating. We're trying not to. We're really trying not to expose a lot of blank wall because this is an urban building with a wall ready to receive another building, and it's a substantial blank wall. So part of the idea here is to stitch them together. It's really sort of a composition to marry the site, to complete the block. You know, this is going to be one of the few places in Bethesda where we'll have almost a complete block. That it's a condominium sort of on the southern end, so it's probably not going to be going anywhere anytime soon. With this development, and then it's really going to be able to fulfill.
But the planes along Wisconsin Avenue, you have the opportunity because of the building of 8008 out, and you don't want to expose the edge of it, but you want to expose the balconies, if you will, or reflect. So you could be doing this with your massing, and maybe you need axons or something to show those planes.
I mean, the idea is to those somewhere on the line relate this our building to these buildings.
Yeah, that shows it better, but gosh, I wish they were. So the white is
over 199.
Is coexistent to 8008. Mm-hmm. Right where your style, go back with your pointer. Mm-hmm. Not there.
On the right hand side.
Oh, 8008, sorry. Yeah. Right.
So that massing is coincident. And then.
Well, it's interesting because I think, they all have slightly different massings.
Right, right.
We're all working with different build two lines, right, essentially.
Well, that's what I was.
Yeah,
I mean, 7900 is in front, right? I mean,
7900 is in front. It comes out further than 8008.
Oh, I see. So that's why it
extends.
If
well
you
past.
Keep that plane, it exposes those balconies, which is good.
They've built pretty much all the way to the build two line. The entire mass is on the build two line. Right. There's no setbacks. Mm-hmm. All the kind of design guidelines do not apply necessarily to this building. Yeah.
Can you explain down there the pass through that tilted plane? Oh, there you go.
I mean, we did not get the model of that.
But there's a transfer beams. I think this drops down.
Right, and so how much is on their property line adjacent to you? How much of their building comes down to the ground that kind of finishes off that?
I can go back to this first image, if you will.
Carl, you can actually see it right there on the bottom right of the 7900.
Yeah.
It's like it's a little pavilion.
Little pavilion.
Yeah, like a little coffee pavilion.
Yeah.
It's sort of one story.
So there's a staircase coming down.
And then
a staircase
comes down on top of it.
They have what they're doing, this is the chocolate factory. They are kind of matching that massing on Wisconsin, kind of telegraphing that geometry through shaping the front. And then, they do have a staircase that comes down. And they're going to have an elaborate ceiling, coffered ceiling, that will disguise all of that. Yeah. Yeah.
You've kept the thing where you're creating an inflection of the front facade.
Yeah.
And I guess my question about that is, I understand that's one of your major design points, but I guess one of my questions was, if you wanted to, again, match 8008, but then cut back towards 79, why wouldn't you do an inflection that went the other way, instead of having it inflected
vertically,
so that you're actually inflecting to help your effort of creating the
bow.
have a bay, I guess, imagine.
Call it a bay, yeah. So there's an inflection now that goes up and down. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you turn it side to side in order to give yourself the achieve your goal of trying to get more exposure at 79?
We can look at that, we can study that. I mean, I'm trying to understand how might that help.
The point being, the reason why we did obviously is because these things were so far out, and
right.
If we were pushed back, we would be lost, I guess. And the idea here was really to, trying something new, I think,
mm-hmm.
to see if we could, if a move like that, a dynamic geometry that's not quite, that you don't see everywhere, if we were to,
Right, but I think if you did it the other way, it would actually have a purpose, especially if it was skewed so that, your seam ran vertically and it was closer to 8008, and then your shift back actually, points to the other building.
I don't have that specific plan on here.
So the challenge is, pushing this back, right?
Yeah.
And then are we same plane here, or you're
no.
pushing this back more?
We this is the ground
That's
floor.
The ground floor.
I know, I'm trying to understand above.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we above?
We're back about here. Above.
Okay, but so...
I can bring up. I do have the
plan. Yeah, do a plan on the typical floor, because that would tell where those two planes are and everything. Because if there is that setback, then I think you've achieved what you were trying to do, which was expose
the
balconies.
It's a very small exposure.
Oh, it's a very, I see, okay.
And
I was thinking this, that you would do something like this in plant. This is facade being generated out of the 7900.
And then make these
this
two plants
out of it. Yeah.
I was thinking
then
it could be more of what you've done on Woodmont, right now you're going vertically and creating this plane
mm-hmm.
like this.
Yeah.
If you did the plane like that,
yeah.
you would bring yourself almost down to that point, sort of like what you've done on Woodmont.
But I think your massing is all about cubist moves as opposed to diagonals and stuff, it would seem to me.
Yeah,
it
diagonals
in
section,
yeah.
On Wisconsin, but not on Woodlawn.
Right.
I do want to share Rod's comments as well. He wasn't able to be here. He said, with the lack of separation, my primary concern is that there hasn't been an attempt to create a separation between buildings that is both in the master plan and the guidelines, as the panel requested. While I do not have the benefit of hearing the verbal presentation, I interpret the presentation to imply that the blank walls of the adjacent properties need to be covered up. While little is known of the wall on 8008, and there is certainly evidence 7900 has a wall that may not have a lot of glass in it, but it is articulated and could easily stand on its own. I do appreciate the example you suggested in Spain in the previous presentation, and do agree there are many great precedents for continuous street walls, not only in Spain, but in many cities around the world. But the missing point here is that both the master plan and the design guidelines have been deliberate in articulating the need for light and air between towers in downtown Bethesda. No doubt this master plan is implemented over the years. A new typology will emerge. While it's not a great example, you will get a glimpse of this in looking at your drawing labeled future existing conditions and seeing the gap between 7900 Wisconsin and its neighbor to the south. The lack of separation between towers is not only evident on Wisconsin, but in the view looking north on St. Elmo, and again seeing the relationship between 8000 and 7900. It looks very crowded. As not only an architect, but also as a Bethesda area representative, I'm aware the community bought into the new master plan when they were assured that the combination of guidelines and height limitation would become the controlling mechanism for approval, not the more conventional planning constraints such as FAR. This implies that the volume of the building may need to be reduced to achieve what is being asked for in the guidelines. And then in terms of the elevations, I see a great deal of effort in conceptually relating your project with the two adjacent buildings. if in fact you do create a separation between adjacent properties, you may not need to work so hard to meld the properties together. In fact, you may have more freedom to appear as a freestanding tower on Wisconsin as you are attempting to do on Woodlawn. And then finally, with the building base, I find the lack of alignment between the building base between 7900 Wisconsin and 8000 Wisconsin a bit strange. From my perspective, they should be either aligned or offset further. At this time, I cannot recommend any exceptional design points be awarded to the project. And also, I wanted to hear if there were any further comments from the public.
I was at the last presentation, and I appreciate all of the challenges that you face here. It's a little difficult looking at what's presented today that shows no of the outside detail to know how that will fit with the other two. But my impression is from what was online that we're going to be, the residents are going to be looking at a massive block. And that goes to the point in Rod's comments of the attempt to sort of match the buildings on either side. And I wonder if that's the best way to go, if something more different from what's on either side would be more visually appealing.
You guys are maxed out.
I look at the pictures that are in your presentation that was online, and I think, my God, this is huge. I just want to move back, so I'm not faced with this massive wall that all looks pretty similar.
Major corridor.
Woodmont presents a lot better to me than Wisconsin. IEC meeting on Friday, but we're talking about over 1,000 units for this block between the three projects. Plus what's already there, plus what's nearby. Green space. None of the projects here will be painted to the PIP for different reasons, understandably. But it's, to me, it does present as like this Wisconsin wall. And then, of course, I have to bring up functional design and the pull-off situation with 1,000 units. Where delivery is going to happen, where are people going to pull over. That's not just to your project, that's in general for this block.
Well, and they're allowed 200. I mean, they're 275 feet.
Twice longer.
They're almost twice as long as we are.
Yeah, and I'm very sympathetic.
We're 150
feet. You're in the middle there. I see that as a challenge.
And they're building it.
And they're building, yeah. Well, there's going to be a substantial green space here, though. I mean, just the
public space.
Bob, are you maxed out on height?
We are. The height's 175 feet, and by virtue of the 25% MPDUs, we're allowed two additional floors. So we are at 199
taking
feet.
Taking advantage of that, right?
How many square feet in the entire building?
430.
Four and change.
And you've configured different footprints. Obviously,
yeah, I think Andy, you've done.
Yeah, we have studied several options.
We have the most
logical footprint, and our approach has been trying to compose the building to fit into neighborhood, setback upper levels from 8008, as well as 7900 square. So the building, whenever they matches the heights, the building sets back. So we don't have a blank wall.
Ever
an attempt to coordinate with 8008? That's just totally off the table.
You mean coordinate in terms of
combining projects to make it more
cohesive? They're already approved and moving.
Yeah, it's been approved for several years.
They're modifying. I don't know what they're doing, but modified.
The sign says there's a unit manipulator. Shifting unit numbers or something within the same volume.
Probably they will start construction soon.
They haven't come in.
Yeah, they've not come to tell us about that, but they will.
Oh, there's a sign in front of the building.
Maybe their old sign.
Could be the old sign.
We're going to ignore staff and do it anyway.
They wouldn't be the first.
I think
they would not be the first.
I took a picture of it.
might be the old one.
He's going to get lunch. No, just kidding.
So for the design panel, I mean, what? So just looking at this typical floor, what I hear from Rod's comments is that one solution, if we weren't worried about anything else, is if you took the sort of the right hand portion of the bar, maybe those four units, and took those out and shifted the stair over, is that, and so essentially the width of the bar on Wisconsin is comparable to that of 8008, so you have sort of, you know, bookends, and that starts to open up. I mean, I think 7900 was designed, I think, you know, you talked to Andy about sort of have the both and corner conditions. I mean, it was designed to be, you know, viewed sort of down the avenue. If the bar in Wisconsin got narrower design panel, would that be something? I mean, understanding that for 18 floors, that's four units, that's what, 70? That's a lot of units.
It might not have to be four, it might only be the two.
Right, or if it's two or whatever, I mean, would that start to move in the direction?
Are you trying to do a through bar opening? Or
well, I'm just trying to narrow.
I just want to understand your comment. You just eliminate units on the eastern side of the building.
To create a separation.
Yeah, to create a gap between 7900 to make that, instead of having the bar touch.
Gap.
Well, it would go all the way from,
I didn't understand.
Yeah. It like from the base up. So yeah. the base would still continue, but then.
Two comments on this. One is, we did look at that. We lose about 18% of our project if we did something like that. The second is, we shouldn't be looking at Wisconsin in a vacuum. Thankfully, the JBG project does have a walkthrough to their public space. There is a nice gap there. And I would suggest that if those two, JBG and us, were planned together with that center aisle through there, nobody would have any question about it.
Yeah, but isn't a gap at the ground level. It's a gap. It's the gap above the base. That's the issue.
I understand that aspect. But when you do that, all of a sudden you're leaving a blank wall, which is contrary to the guidelines. That's, you know.
Well, the JBG wall isn't...
It's pretty decent.
...totally blank, I would say. It was,
there's articulation.
It was left in a way that it could end up being a remaining exposed wall.
I grew up in apartment buildings in D.C. as a child. We were rather poor, and our window view was of blank walls. It was dreary. It is what... poetically, people consider dreary. I would not put anything up against a blank wall. I would just build it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a.
Unusual condition. I mean, they are being very aggressive when they're in their approval, trying to get more out of the building. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I haven't seen this condition in anywhere, any urban condition. You probably don't either. Like, you know, this is like.
Pretty strange.
You know,
I think you've done a great job creating that buzz on the Rumont side, you know, kind of composing with the JBG building. That's very satisfactory. We only have about 140 feet, Wisconsin College. How much can we do with 140?
Well, I guess I was looking at like a middle ground where it might not be a full tower separation, but you would do what you've done on the Woodmont side of canting the facade back.
I mean,
so
we can look at, you know,
so that you would end up exposing
the facade maybe like two different ways.
I have to agree with that. I mean, I've been very quiet because I don't know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I did actually. No, but the thing that we had talked about numerous times in the past meeting was, instead of a rectangular continuation of what's on side, setting, perhaps allowing the form of your building to deviate by one or more planes that actually are not fully set back 10 feet from in the setback, but go from with a connection on the northern building and maybe angle back, and maybe there's another one that answers it.
So you go back to, you know, composing the building, kind of stitch between these two buildings, the urban wall,
that,
basically.
I'm trying to
composing
say,
in a way that makes
than,
sense.
Rather than relate to the two buildings as much as you're trying to do, I'm
we are not trying to relate. We are trying to be, you know, honestly, our building is going to read different.
Watch that.
I mean, you know, we wanted to kind of analyze our building, our moves, try to explain to you what are the things we want to do. And we want to come back with the, you know, painted facade, you know, materials and so forth, how we can establish these moves in the second level.
So we can look at that deflection.
You've done it on Woodmont. You've done exactly this on Woodmont. If you go back to your plan, the question is, can't you mirror what you've done on Woodmont on Wisconsin? Or not mirror, but, you know, you've done exactly that kind of canting back.
We just saw the project before you that did it successfully. The two planes, it's a much smaller project, but did it in a way that was very intellectually satisfying from your design standpoint. And I'm not criticizing where you're going at this point. All I'm saying is we have talked about this kind of transitional plane movement, and I haven't seen evidence that you tried it. And that's, maybe it doesn't work, I don't know. But I think Glenn's reacting to the same thing, that may be the answer ultimately, because you've got disparate tie points. It could easily be connected.
I'm so weird. I wish I had this
one. Yeah, me too.
Canting it this way.
And it doesn't have to be a single can.
And you might even do that in the.
Or you could shift it if you really don't want a diagonal. You could shift it as two bars and shift that court, that little courtyard in a little bit. And,
But if that works, I think that's solution.
There's many ways to do it.
The suggestion of actually pulling it off completely and having that blank wall, I just don't know if that is a good solution.
I did see that you extended Woodlawn Avenue up to the chocolate factory. That was one thing we talked about last time. You held it back around 25 feet or something like that.
Yeah, we held it. I mean, we held it back over here. Yeah.
It was farther back than last time.
No.
So you still held it back.
We held it back.
All right.
The concern was there's not more foot traffic on Woodmont, and to complement the JBG, make it a big airy space back there is very attractive to our residents, to their residents. And what happens on Wisconsin Avenue is you have cars passing by all day long. I hardly see anybody walking there. So I'm very satisfied with the Woodmont area, and I think your design ideas would work on Wisconsin.
I would just like to point out there's a residential neighborhood on the other side of Wisconsin, so the visual aspect is fairly important to those people.
That's correct.
And there's someone who walks along there fairly frequently, and I would say I'm not really, there are others.
That's the chocolate factory.
I mean, how do you all feel about the Woodmont wing, the Woodmont treatment? Because that may, again, be a precedent for the Wisconsin Avenue treatment, so maybe it's worth talking about how people feel about the...
You're talking about the vertical?
The way they have the base and then the vertical canted on the base.
That doesn't address the throughput. That's the real issue with Don as well.
Mm-hmm. That wouldn't address
in
the
a sense block. A separate issue. So it's an issue, it's a question of...
We're trying to come up with something that does differentiate this building and breaks down the block visually without eliminating 90,000 or whatever square feet. I mean, the problem I'm having with this diagram is I really don't know what happens with those boxes on top and how they tie into the rest of the building. Because it's just trust me, Tommy, I know you're going to make it look great. And it's hard to conceptualize at this stage.
Well, the idea was, we are trying to set back either side of the project to have facades. So we don't have blank facades, basically. And then the north as well as the south.
Exactly. And then as the intention is to step back from here as well so then we can glaze those upper levels and have views north. And it's just getting, and this is one of the things that we have manipulated between since we were able to get these models, the skin of these models, so that we know, like, we need to be able to set back or bring a wall up, you know, we could do something along those edges, but then so there's no, physical, no one's tempted to physically.
The wood mount. I like how it cants that way, and then the block cants back out the other way.
Do you envision those dark areas as more curtain wall or glass? Is it too early?
Well, I think it's just really early. Yeah, it's really a you know, a,
I mean, I know the application.
Should be like, you know, it should be like a lighter material.
Yeah, it could be lighter, this could be darker.
So a question about the public realm. In other words, I understand the width of the sidewalk on Wisconsin and the obligations because of the, you know, the transit issue. And then what about on Woodmont? And then is there any public space on your project? Or are you relying 100% on, you know, 7900?
Yeah, I mean, we're this is based on the size of, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. I mean, we're it's really about just the streetscape improvements for both those sides. Being consistent with Bethesda's sector plan, you know, bringing the streetscape along, through, and then around, and bringing on the backside. I think originally we had, you know, there was some studies of, you know, a east-west connection, but again, like, Carlos pointed out,
8,000
meters,
yeah, right?
You're steps away from a major.
Right, but in a sense, your public realm is sidewalks.
Yep.
Done.
Yep.
You know, and that on a very large site, you know, could give people pause that why are we putting all our obligation on 7900 to have the public open space, etc., and not any public open space on your site.
But isn't that
it's the zoning ordinance? It doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not a large site on the zoning ordinance.
Yeah.
It's still an issue, though. I mean, it's a perception more than.
But isn't that the whole point of the Bethesda plan? Is that we'll make meaningful public space with all the new payments, so that real parks will be created, not like meaningless.
Yeah, I think that that's.
But if you dial back to the through block connection, that in a sense is obligated by the plan. That would
you already have one through block connection through JBG's
right.
project.
You know, I think
if
the JBG project was approved.
You're like really competing against the one next to it. What you're trying to do is like make that one.
It was
more
also
strong.
The JBG project was approved under a completely different set of rules and requirements, where there was a mandate that 20% of the site be public use space.
But even that aside, I think the public open space question on this site is more of a Woodmont Avenue, and I think the 8008 has their, and if you can spin it around, 8008 has their public space along Woodmont, and so I think, you know, your design when you get to that is going to have to talk about, I mean, your building design is going to have to relate to that space, because that's where this, you know, the wide spot in the sidewalk, so to speak. So I mean, I think it still needs to be done, but I think it's a Woodmont as opposed to a Wisconsin.
So their public space is a wide spot at the sidewalk.
I only go back to say that the plan has a green space plan and it has a park plan, and this block does not include a park in the plan. It does include a park down at Veterans Plaza, and this area, the 7900 open space that they've created under the old code where they had to do 20%, is almost a bonus, I want to say, because it will end up being a fairly nice open space on this block. But the block was not master planned to have a park or an open space.
Or it was not planned to have 20% on every building, because you want postage stamp spaces dotted down every block.
I agree. Doing the 20% they paid off site for the majority.
There's no requirement.
I mean, the issue is the chocolate factory that sticks out, you know, makes the sidewalk pretty narrow, right?
Yes, we tried the bylaw chair.
I think
this is
a pretty dynamic
if the public could feel like the Veterans Park expansion was really going to happen along with this, then I'd feel better looking at this amount in this location, knowing that, well, the park will be delivered, it will be on this block, but it'll be the next block down. But right now, we just don't really have that assurance or guarantee.
Go back to your curb cuts on Woodmont, I guess. Your curb cuts are where?
They were moved from the last time that you saw it. Yeah, they were.
Therefore, you're going to add trees along the pond.
Yeah, we flipped. We had them previously here.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so you just have them there, so you have an opportunity of trees, at least along there, and you're not showing those in your axon.
Not yet.
And I think that would help.
Yeah.
Because that would then reinforce what's happening at the corner.
Mm-hmm.
many people feel about.
Sometimes we get accused of plopping trees and hiding the architecture.
Yeah, I understand.
doing this, yeah. It's taking out for sure.
The model, there it's set back on the ground floor, and then.
So you're caught between a hard place and a rock. I mean, let's face it, because the guidelines are calling for something that might be inappropriate if you want to maximize the FAR and coverage on your site. And that's the dilemma. Mm-hmm. And so the question is what can you do to help reinforce the block to work better? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And
here.
Yeah.
There'll be trees. And this will be our lobby as well. Well, our main lobby.
I think this must be their lobby too, or something.
I think their lobby is.
Yes. They're on Wisconsin.
They're on Wisconsin.
That's a retail space.
Yeah, this is retail.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have retail here, then a lobby, and then the loading, and then the chocolate factory, and then that space.
Well, why don't we see if, we can sum up the direction we want to give them.
Well, and let me just also preface that by saying that this is currently has a board date, mm-hmm. and a staff report is being written that has a blank spot for this discussion. The board does need to find that 10 points is achievable here. And if the panel doesn't think that 10 points are in range yet, I mean, Rod said as much, then the question is, does this need to come back to you before it goes to the board for sketch plan? Do you think it can get 10 and it goes to site plan? What I'm hearing from the discussion is that it's not ready for sketch plan, but I may be mishearing.
Does it need the 10 points? You can't move forward without the 10 points?
Correct.
We're required to have 10 points.
It's part of the, it is the overlay zone conformance.
So the question
is zoning, it's a zoning question.
No, they can get 10 points.
I think the big question really for the panel, just the very base question is, can you envision this being approvable without a
tower separation.
Not at the base. We're all agreed that I think the base is going to be continuous, but that above the base, particularly at Wisconsin Avenue, because the other one already has its separation, that it needs to have some separation. And we haven't even talked about 8008. I think we've been assuming that it wouldn't have a separation from 8008, and we've been talking about the separation from 7900. So I think the question is, do you all think that separation from 7900 is essential, or can there be some, again, shifting of planes or canting of the facade or something that exposes more of 7900 that would be acceptable? I think that's the bottom line question.
And that could be a condition of sketch plan going forward to site plan, when you'll see the whole picture, including all the articulation. And
I don't think there needs to be a separation. I think the shifting of planes could potentially achieve it, but it needs some work for sure.
It's worth exploration for more.
You don't think it needs
separation? I don't think it needs to be completely concealing everything.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are on the
same. Mm-hmm. It needs to be a strong gesture, not a subtle gesture.
Understood.
Mm-hmm.
And I will refer back to the last time we were here. There were some very interesting things happening in terms of that facade going up and going back, and I was getting really excited about that. That's all sort of disappeared at this point.
It is still there.
Well, it's still there, but still there. I don't know how many planes you can do.
now that I think about it, my humble opinion is that kind of sophistication may not be where
that'll be where it is. I think they'll have to address
where the bucks are in terms of solving this problem. They may have to do more with where the plane taxes.
I wouldn't get this thing jacked up with too many moves, frankly. I think it's about subtle plane movement that allows you to compose a building that can stand alone, but also has respect for what its job is. you know, on the street. I don't think you have to separate myself personally. But I can understand the guidelines sort of require that. I'm on board with the.
I mean, that's the main question, basically, you know.
Yeah.
Rest is.
But I am, in a sense, disappointed that you haven't been a little bit more aggressive with what the base of the building looks like or will look like in terms of its role on the street, because 7900 is pretty brutal, and I guess the 8008 is a little undercooked.
Well,
and so your job is really
stitched to.
Well, I wouldn't try to stitch everything together, because the next thing you know, you're gonna have problems. So I want it to be able to stand alone, as if
there's a skill issue, right? I mean, you know, 8008 is almost like reads like a one story.
Right.
It's very traditional.
Yeah.
I mean, the 8008 I think is a very traditional building, very basic ground floor. You know, 7900 is particularly the area where they have the little pavilion kind of structure and all is all very different, and it's a major through block connection, and it's doing all sorts of things.
I mean, I think the main problem, honestly, 7900, there's a scale problem with this building, just mm-hmm. like 777 Norfolk Avenue, the white building that
uh-huh.
looks like landed from Miami Beach.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's going to feel like that, I mean, honestly.
Uh-huh.
So our job is to kind of do something that kind of
uh-huh.
fits in and so forth. Yeah.
Did you have more comments? Or
I think it's worth an exploration of how the facade can change, because to break the visual fatigue of the facade, because it's a very long stretch. Again, goes to the point of, you know, it's achieving the 10 points.
Yeah, I mean, we're only 100, you know, it's funny, I mean, if you said 150 feet, you go 60 feet, and 60 feet is eye guidelines, there's only a little sliver
right.
left
right.
in the front, so
yeah,
I mean, the building's
not
going
to
no.
That's
not going to this building's 300 feet long, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's 275 feet long. Yeah. I mean, this is almost, you know, this right here is the same scale as that.
So our request of this committee is to allow this to move forward at sketch plan, with the 10 points, with, you know, a condition that we will continue to work on the issues that have been identified here today. It's a lot easier to start getting to that level of detail when we move to the site plan and also the concurrent preliminary plan. But I mean, I do feel very confident that at the time of site plan that we can address the comments that we've heard here today. I think we've learned a lot, and I feel like we can bring back at site plan a project that you're going to like a lot. So.
Well, you may want to, if that's where the committee wants to go, you may want to bring it back before site plan. Like the next time,
yeah.
I mean, when you have the
yeah.
breakthrough,
yeah.
bring it back.
Okay. But we would for multiple purposes, including we have a commitment to the county to keep this thing moving by contract. We would ask that this get allowed to be go through
date.
Sketch.
Yeah.
All right. So just to summarize, it sounds like we have strong recommendations and conditions for there to be some sort of gesture to relate between 7900 and 8000, probably with a can't. We do have comments from Paul and Rod, which recommend the separation, but perhaps with revisions, if they can see that the intent is met, breaking that wall at the next iteration, that might meet.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Paul's comments could be read as like
breaking through a massing wall.
Move.
Right, so we just have to see it done. So that sounds like that's a strong recommendation and likely a condition in the staff report, and also how the base is relating to the street
right.
is also a major issue. So.
But I'm worried about this word can't on
yes.
on Wisconsin.
Okay.
I'd much rather have
shifting planes
personally, because I think that can't would be kind of a weird geometry shift of a series of planes that really are Wisconsin. Yeah. And so if you just, I mean, I can't imagine a building that would kind of go over and just barely sort of touch 7900 at an angle.
You're taking it too low.
Yeah. Well, that's what it can't be. So I'm just voicing my
concern.
I think
we need to go back and, you know, study it, compose it, and bring some sort of product in front of you guys. You know?
Yeah, and we just want to see this next time, how, you know, if you do several iterations, how you got to where your next step is. So it sounds like it's going to move through sketch plan, hopefully with conditions, and then we would like to see it again before site plan.
Most definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably what the materials, too, would be helpful, because right
materials.
Now it's harder to envision without all the
It's hard to tell what those pieces are.
And what we did, we did go a little bit further with our submission, and what we did is we dialed
back.
Back to study
to
the
explore,
math. It was really about the math.
Which was a good thing.
As we move forward.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you all.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.